When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, it's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Billy is a sex slave. I'm Nikki Glaser. I am in Los Angeles, California, in a very special studio. Is this the official iHeart podcast studio, or like where a lot of iHeart radio podcasts are
I
made?
Think it is, even it's though I didn't see any signs.
Yeah.
But we're getting our parking
validated.
Yeah, don't
even try to find us, because there are no signs that would indicate that this is the building. But this is a sweet-ass studio that we get to take advantage of today, because Noah is here in Los Angeles. We are together. Look, we can hold hands during the podcast.
Aww.
Oh! I feel so close to you. So what a treat. Noah and I are together in Los Angeles at this dope-ass studio. Make sure you watch the video online when it's up in a couple days on our YouTube channel. And then Anya is here in New York. She's still long in the tooth over there. And she's still got her new teeth in.
Until tomorrow.
Until and tomorrow.
Slightly shorter in the tooth.
What? So they're going to give you your permanent ones tomorrow?
Slightly shorter in the tooth.
Yeah.
They're going to adjust these. And then that's the final adjustment. And then I wait for 3 weeks to get the final. But I got
three
a lot
weeks.
Of good info.
What do you mean?
I'll fill you in later on Veneer Corner or whenever you're ready.
Our new segment called Veneer Corner.
Dun, dun, dun.
Veneerly there. Wait.
I love it.
Just fill us in now. First of all, for people wanting to get veneers, Anya did her own research, because even Carlisle last night, who is on our girls chat, was like, I wish Anya would have told me. I have so much to tell her. Like, don't do it. Because, Carlos, they have to be replaced every 10 years. Much like breast implants, which you don't hear about. Doctors are just trying to sell you on these things. So when I got LASIK, they didn't tell me about the weird nearsighted thing where it was like, you might have, if you get both done, you'll have readers sooner. None of this stuff. They want to just get you in and get you out and get you sold. They don't tell you that you're not going to be able to bite your fingernails anymore if you get veneers. That's the doozy for me.
Yeah.
If I have a hangnail, I just want to clip it. I just want to get it and like rip it. And you can't get any grip with those front teeth, right?
To me, also they adjusted my bite like without me asking. So they're like, we made your teeth more correct. And I'm like, they cover your bottom teeth. I'm like, I don't want them covering my bottom teeth because now it's so hard to talk. So who gives a shit if
you
they
didn't
cover
think
your-
about this at all as someone who talks and sings for a living?
Yeah.
You didn't think about any of this?
I thought about it. I researched it and I did not, but I didn't research nearly enough. I should have sat down with them longer and just done a full-on interview. They make it seem like, yeah, you could just do this and then you'll have these permanent...
I wouldn't even ask them, because even when I've asked the hard questions at the LASIK place, which I'm so glad I did it, they were still like... It's not, just sign the box. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Everyone does this. We've done 97,000 surgeries. It's like, everyone does it. And I'm so grateful I did it, because I wake up in the morning and I can like see, but I'm getting the other one done. The one eye for me is not working. So I'm going to get the other one done, and it's going to be amazing, because I my world through one eye is just the best. I wake up every day, I put an eye patch on, and I go, this is living. But veneer thing, you don't ask them, because they're going to just tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. And so you got to ask your friends who have gotten veneers before, and they'll tell you the truth. And you got to do a trusted friend who doesn't just want to bring you in on their suffering. You know, like friends are trying to sell you in on having a baby or buying a house because they want more.
Sorry, Nikki.
Please. Yeah. Come on, suffer with me. Like, take on this burden. So
I think in the long run, I will not regret it. And I'm glad that I wasn't a pushover, because, you know, a week ago when I had these temporary ones fitted, they were like, okay, are you good with this? We're going to send it off to the lab. And I listened to my gut. And I was like, I don't think so. I am really having trouble speaking. This is what I do for a living. I sing and speak. I need to enunciate every word, every syllable. Like, this is not okay.
And not every broadcaster has felt that way.
They have?
I'm just kidding. Like, some people speak for a living are like, I'm fine slurring words.
That's true. Oh my God, Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
Totally had a thing.
Drew Barrymore has like a little bit of a thing, you know? And that's like,
I love your
darling
impression. Please do it.
I just say that she does the, in my act, I love Drew Barrymore, and she's the one person who I do this like spiel about. Try to say spiel.
Spiel.
It's okay. Perfect. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. You hit it right on the head. Okay. You hit it right on the back of your big tooth. I can joke about Anya's teeth because they're going, the thing that she has a problem with, by the way, I don't see it. And so it's fun for me to make fun of it. Or hear it. Like, I didn't. So if you think I'm being mean and teasing Anya, I'm also making fun of something that she's getting rid of.
I ran upstairs to do the podcast, and Matt was like, have a great day, babe. And I was like, thank you, I'll see you in an hour. And he goes, I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah,
and I
go, you can really stop doing
and
that.
And he's like,
to you.
I don't hear it. I'm just giving you shit for fun. I'm like, that can stop.
You're like, suffering succotash. I am so sick of you.
And a bunch of besties came out to the show after and started giving me feedback about my veneers. They did. They were like, I think they look great. Mm-hmm. I forget that people listening actually exist, and I might see them.
Listen very carefully.
I know. That's a new thing for you. It's been a thing in my life for many years where you're like, did you read my diary? And they're like, no, you said it on a podcast that goes out to thousands and thousands and thousands.
They're like,
people.
I know, like, you can squirt if you do this or that to your
I mean, some besties come up with things that I go, I don't know what the fuck you are referring to. And they say it like it was like something I said, because they maybe heard it yesterday. And it was an old podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking old as in last week. And I have moved on. But I have a lot of podcasting friends, and everyone reports the same thing. It's not that I like I'm not caring about these. You just think about a conversation you had a week ago. You just don't remember. And we're in the moment, baby. I'm not like planning these things.
Right. And you talk very frankly.
Yes.
So it's like, am I talking on the podcast, or am I talking to like my girlfriends?
Yes, totally. So often I've had therapists be like, thank you so much for sharing what you just shared. And I'm like, I literally just said it on a podcast too, like 2 hours ago. None of this is like confidential. I don't care if you tell other people. They're always like, it's safe with me. I'm like, tell your other clients. If that helps them. Secrets are safe with me. Secrets, because if you do tell someone a secret, you know they're going to tell someone, right? Don't we all know that no one, unless you're like have a partner that you trust who has no friends, who is maybe a mute, like
it's
you
very
can't
hard.
Tell anyone hard, anything yeah. without knowing that they're going to at least tell someone, and they're going to maybe not say your name, but they're going to say a friend. And then the friend is going to be able to like figure it out. Like, I had one secret about a friend that I kept that like was one that I was like, I am never going to tell anyone this. It is ours. And I am a good friend, and I'm never going to betray this person. And then she came out and was like, I have this thing. And I'm like, that was the one. She got all this press for it. I'm like, that was my secret to keep for you, bitch. And now you're on the cover of People magazine. Ugh. But anyway, I can joke about it with you because it's something that you're going to fix. I would never, ever make fun of your, if you were keeping this thing, and I ever heard you do it, I would never make fun of it because Jeff Ross always says you can roast people for things that they can change.
Oh,
that's
true.
A slippery slope because sometimes people can't change things that you go, well, just go on a diet. You could change it. It's like, well, that doesn't mean you can make fun of them just because you can change it, you know? Yeah. But what I was going to say was, oh, true, you can't bite your nails.
I heard that also they stain, the veneers stain more easily, so you have to get your teeth whitened more often.
Oh, Nanya told me my teeth are going to be this white for the rest of my life no matter what.
That's not what I heard. I've researched that. I've heard different things on Google, but I've talked to a friend who has them and they don't stain. Unless you're like trying to get them to stain, they really resist stain.
That's great. Oh, I mean, okay. I would definitely do it. I won't do it because I'm too scared of, I have commitment issues and I can't commit to giving up this thing that's been with me my whole life. That's why I still live in St. Louis. That's why I'm just like, maybe when my parents die, I'll be able to like lose my teeth or something. Like something big needs to be taken from me before that. Like my teeth to me are like, they've been there since the beginning. Have you ever seen a baby's skull? They've been in my head. My eggs also. We're born with all the eggs we have.
Yep.
That's fucked up, dude.
So fucked up.
It's so weird that as little babies, we have like so many like woman eggs inside of us.
But they're immature.
And we have like fucking eggs in us.
They're
gross.
Immature. Well, like they can't get fertilized. I just learned that.
Okay. Well, that is a good point.
It is weird that your permanent teeth don't show up till you're like, what, 10 or 11?
Yeah. Mine came in loud and clear. They busted through and I had buck teeth until I got braces from, I guess, fourth grade until seventh grade. They were bucking out, man. They were wild. Did you have buck teeth too?
No. No, but I had an overbite.
Oh, yeah. And so now Anya does too.
Yep.
It is
right.
Weird because you know, there's people in this room. Everyone knows when you've got a nail or like a hangnail or something, you know exactly where to place it on your bite line to get it, where your two teeth can meet. And then when you have in like when I have in my Invisalign, it's gone. Like that little, like if you need to open a package or something, can you imagine the rest of your life not having, I guess you'll find a new spot. To rip
I
things
guess,
open?
But like
we shouldn't
I
be
eat protein bars.
Open. Yeah,
every day I eat protein bars, and I never thought about the fact that I can't bite into a protein bar. I'm never gonna like take. You know how Bethany Frankel put out that cool video of her eating candy? It's like my ASMR.
Oh,
she's
I
biting
love it
into
so
this
much.
Gummy.
Oh, yes, it's such a
and
good one.
And I was
one.
Just like, her I videos. Won't be able to do that. Mm. But then I talked to my friend Jill today, and she has like all veneers through her whole mouth, and she's like, "No, it's great." No regrets. It's going to be fine. They look great. You just need them. She gave me a couple little tips. She's like, the back should not be thick. You should definitely get that fixed.
Hold on. But, this biting thing. You can bite into things, she said? Mm-hmm. Because Carlisle last night told me she has to trepidatiously eat apples, jerky. Any. She can't ever bite into anything without she thinks about it first now, which is not that big of a burden. I mean, okay.
Yeah,
so
I
have
tend
to
side
bit.
With Carlisle too. Yeah. Because my friend Jill has a bridge and veneers, so maybe it's easier for her. I'm just pissed off about this thing. It hit me the other day in the middle of the night in a depression.
Matt?
I was just like, he hits me.
Get
I want
out
to come
of
out
this.
Here.
Snap
but I was
out
just
of
thinking,
it.
You know what this is like? This is what? Like if someone said, oh, you don't like your hands? You have age spots and wrinkles? Well, guess what? You can get Angelina Jolie's exact perfect hands with her skin. We'll just take your hands off and replace them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just like
someone's
imagine
hands
perfect
that you admire.
Hands. Mm-hmm. And then they sew rubber hands onto your hands. And then you realize, no one told me these hands don't work. They're just beautiful. And they sit there, but they don't work.
They
I'll
don't
never pick
work.
Anything up. So that's what this thing is. It's like, hello, in the apocalypse, I will be fucked. If these fall out, I'm just going to have stalactites
oh, no.
sitting there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's like, good. You
I
can like bite into prey.
That's last of us.
Evolutionarily,
be...
I am fucked.
No, this is good news. If cordyceps really takes over, like in The Last of Us, mm-hmm. and you get it, you're going to be like a gummy zombie, and no one's going to get bit. You're just going to go like, oh, and just gnaw on people's necks. With your
okay,
gummies,
so you spun it
little
stalactite.
Yeah, that's good. If you get bit by a zombie, we're just gonna be like, hang out, keep hanging out. You don't have anything to give this to us with. Man, Last of Us is everyone watching?
I'm not caught
There's
up
men
on
in the room. Yes. You guys watching? Yes.
We're getting
yes,
a lot of yes.
It's so good. It's. Have you gotten into it yet?
I just can't watch apocalyptic stuff.
Why?
Because you're worried? It just makes me depressed. I'm trying to like stay positive and
oh, this it, for some reason it does not make me depressed. Watching like Emily in Paris would make me depressed because I'm not as thin as her. My life isn't going as well as her. I'm not in Paris. I'm not that shit. Reality shows make me depressed. Last of Us, I'm like, I'm not. This is a total fantasy. It's good. It was good last
I'm
night.
I'm surprised you're watching a zombie show.
It's me and Chris's show. Chris is very into it because it's boy zombie. But last night he was definitely disappointed in this episode because it's just like a date. These two girls go on a date the whole time, and I was loving it. But then there is a scene where a zombo wakes up and like attacks them, and it's really good. And it's just interesting because the cool thing about this show is that I love that this whole thing happened 20 years prior, where the world changed. It's like COVID, but if COVID was way, way worse and lasted forever and everything changed. And there are people that were born within the time who have never lived in the old time. So I've talked about this before, but this little girl, Ellie, in it has never flown in a plane. She's never driven in a car. She's never played a video game, but she knows about all this stuff. So can you imagine if like...
Oh, that's interesting.
We think about people in history that never played video games, never drove in cars, never... But they couldn't imagine what that was. She can at least see it, and she's like, I never get to do that. And so there, she gets to experience a little bit of it on this last episode, and it's so good. And Joel is not in the episode at all, but boy, is he just fun to look at. Even when he's like writhing and dying and has like an open wound.
Oh my God, I can't wait to catch up. We're still on Alone. I mean, we're on the new season of Alone, and it's the same thing. It's yes. Almost like
how would
apocalypse.
You do an Alone with your veneers?
Yes. Terribly, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd
be
bet.
Trying to like gnaw on a fucking musk ox's leg and they would
penis.
Pop out.
They eat it all. They eat it
you
all.
You gotta get that vitamin D.
I wanna watch the new show Daisy Jones and the Six or whatever. It's about like a band in the 70s. I think Elvis's granddaughter, isn't it?
Oh.
People. I hear that's gonna be good. There's a new reality show that I sent Anya last night that is supposed to
yes.
be really, really bad and good. What's it called? Do you remember?
Perfect Match. We're going to get
Perfect
in on
Match
that.
On Netflix. Oh, and you've got to watch Stolen Youth.
Holy shit.
On Netflix or on Hulu. Stolen Youth. It is about a cult that this dude, it's called Creepy Father Sleeps on Your Couch and Then Gets You in a Sex Cult. It should be called Creepy Father on a Couch.
Creepy Fall Dad creepy. Infiltrates Sarah Lawrence.
It's unreal that this man was able to get all of these kids on board. Like, it just shows you how impressionable we all are.
What's the premise, real quick?
Okay, a bunch of college co-eds are living in an off-campus apartment together. Their sophomore year. One of them is dating this really pretty girl who has a dad who's just getting out of prison because he was wrongly put away because the government was after him. He finally gets out. He ends up sleeping on their couch. He is he worked for the CIA apparently and all these things and covert ops. And he pretty much starts just like talking to them about their past trauma. This is how these cults start. Psychology, even though I love psychology, I love talking about trauma. He gets them to admit like, you know, things happen in your past. And then he starts to bring up things. This is how they get them. They start to get these kids to admit to things that happened to them or to uncover things in the past that may have happened to them. You know, what's it called? Memories when they're forgotten.
Repressed.
Oh, yeah. Repressed.
Repressed memories. Now, when you get people to open up repressed memories, whether they're repressed or not, what you do then is you open up a world of things that could have happened that probably didn't. And so once he's got that in that hook in them of like all these things happened to you and they cut off their families, cult, they are sleep deprived because they're staying up all night talking to this guy. And then he starts to accuse them of like, then they start living with him. I mean, it just, you slowly see how dumb people can be, even though these are smart people. And and the big headline of the thing is that they got this Columbia University med school, got full ride, went to Harvard. He got her. And you can just see the devastation of like mind control, what it does and how. I mean, he might have been poisoning them. It's very unclear. But I didn't give anything away that will make you not want to watch the documentary. It's really good.
I found out who that man was that gave him his apartment. That was his attorney. in jail.
Oh my God.
He convinced his attorney to let him stay in his apartment.
I'm not kidding you. And then he would not leave. I don't want to meet Larry. I feel that even I, if I met Larry, would be persuaded somehow to hold his penis late at night as we slept. That's how he had these girls sleep next to him, one on each side, and one held his penis through the night.
He's like, that's how she sleeps. That's what she needs.
That's what you need. That's how we're gonna, that's how you're not gonna damage my property. How do you think she held
it? Was it like over his thigh or like in between his legs?
I think it's like he slept on his back and then they slept next to him side by side and one of them would just put her hand over and hold it. So which is kind of fun to do sometimes if you're in a partnership where it's kind of like fun to just be like, because flaccid penises are hilarious.
You do that?
Yes, I do. And so later that night, I had watched the documentary and I told Chris, I was like, can I just show you what these girls had to do? And then I was like, can I just do this and feel safe? Because flaccid penises are so funny. It's so cool that have them. What?
I read in a tantric yoga book that this was one of the things they suggest to connect with your partner throughout the day. Like, just rest your hand on their penis.
Yes.
And just remember that it was a repressed memory.
Well, I've got you then. So why do you keep damaging all the microphones I send you? You owe me $700,000. All right, we have to go to break, but we'll be back with so much more after this, including an update on what was her name?
Lynette.
Peyton. You were way off.
Oh my God, that was far off.
Peyton, who whose brother is gay and wanted to go to her wedding. We actually talked to her over the weekend and have an update for you and much, much more after this.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian Mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level.
old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. So if you remember from the last episode, we had a Fanthrax from Lynette/Peyton, who said, Lynette? That's such like an archaic name. Because I see Peyton in my head. I see a Y. I see an E. And then I let it go. And then there's like, what I fill in the blanks. So, okay. So Peyton sent us this. So she pretty much so if you don't remember, for those that didn't hear the episode, she was getting married. She was having her brother want to come to the wedding and maybe kind of come out at this wedding. It was a West Virginia wedding, and a lot of her relatives didn't know that he was gay, and it was going to be like a coming out for him. And she was kind of like nervous that, well, we're going to get filled on why she was nervous. So I'm going to get to the meat of this. This is the first event he mentioned bringing his boyfriend to, and my request of not doing so might overflow his cup and ruin any shot I had of having a closer and deeper relationship with him. I wouldn't intentionally want to make himself smaller, but that is what I feel like I am doing to him. I called him the same night I left the voicemail for the show. I was making myself sick over expressing my wants without hurting either of their feelings. We had a big talk and cried together. You hit the nail on the head saying his lack of response or follow through is due to the weight of hiding who he is from the people who love him the most. I was able to express how badly I want to be a part of each other's lives and want to be there for him. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just kidding. Unfortunately, no, this is such a, I'm so glad she wrote this. Unfortunately, the boyfriend and my schedule didn't won't allow for us to meet before the wedding, but we're going to try in between the wedding and honeymoon. So separate place for her to meet him and like him ingratiated into the family. Brother is supposed to watch dogs and bring boyfriend with him. I'm thankful they were both open and understanding of my wants, and there isn't bad blood, which she wrote in cursive, a different font, and wrote a line underneath because she knows I'm a Swiftie. So there wasn't bad blood over the situation. I hope reiterating to him that I am always going to be on his side has made his load a little lighter. I am also very excited to meet the man my brother loves. Okay, so the questions from the pod that she wanted to address. Rather than being afraid to share the spotlight, or rather being afraid that the spotlight will be taken away from me, my fear is that I will not look back on this day with anything but love. She wrote in parentheses, worst case scenario. So that makes sense. She doesn't need the spotlight. She just wants the day to just be all about love, no drama. I tried to find out if he planned on bringing a plus one months in advance so we could have him introduce boyfriend in smaller pre-wedding events.
Oh. Makes sense.
And we are only doing a ceremony and dinner, so there's no reception or buffer to bring him in later. Okay, all of it makes sense. Thank you for the clarity on this. Anya actually met Peyton face-to-face. I did not. She just gave a letter to Anya to get to me. The little dove. Yes. She attached it to Anya's wing. She flew it back.
She's so sweet. A little dove. Very cute listener. Thank you to our besties for being so beautiful. No, she was so nice. I was like, how did you feel when you were listening to the podcast? She's like, I cried. I'm like, because we hurt your feelings? Did I hurt your feelings? She's like, no, I was so touched that it got heard and that's addressed. So, nice. So that was so sweet.
Yeah. Sometimes when I meet a lot of fans that go, oh, you read my Fanthrax or you played it. And I always get nervous because I'm like, did I say something mean or did I, not that I would ever say something mean, but sometimes you like make, sometimes you disagree with something they say. You just right. I always just want to tread lightly, especially when people are generous enough to give us their voices and their content like that. So met a lot of besties this weekend. We had so many shows. I was yesterday exhausted, but I feel alive again today, especially seeing Noah picking me up in her RAV4 that she let me drive on the way here. And she definitely was Starbucks. Scared.
No, I was not.
You weren't?
No.
My driving doesn't scare you?
No.
Thank you.
No way. I think you're trained. A very good driver. You saw that lady in the Jeep like switch lanes
yes.
abruptly and you
thing.
Avoided it. It was great. And
we
it's raining
gotten
in LA.
We could have smashed big time by this Jeep that was coming. Any other person that I was driving her car would have been like, oh my God, and like and done a whole thing. But no, it was just like, I got it. This is what I don't like is overreactions to things that don't happen. People
exactly.
was like, oh my God, they could have. And it's like, it didn't happen. Let's keep going on with our day. So thank you.
And I know you're very good at multitasking. So I know that you're a good driver because there's a lot going on and you're good at handling all of it. I love
driving.
She
never misspells anything in her text when she's driving. She's got the right grammar.
That did not happen. I didn't see Nikki text while she was driving today.
I did, but I was looking up when I did it. I don't ever look down and text. So if you know who's suffering, if I'm texting and driving, not other people. I'm using one hand, but I'm
the
looking
people
up.
Receiving your text.
Yes, they're suffering because they're. I say, thank you, darling. And I write, thank you, Darlene. Speaking of Darlene. I'm looking at dogs tomorrow, which I'm always looking at dogs because they're cute as fuck. But I am looking to get a dog tomorrow because I've been thinking about like getting a house. I've been thinking about making a move. Like there's different, there's like, I thought I was pregnant last week. There was like things going on. It was accidental. Like I didn't want to be. And thank God I wasn't. But I took a pregnancy test in between
you only have
Cincinnati
like
and Lexington, Kentucky. And I the odds of me getting pregnant at the age of 38 accidentally when I was off birth control for 2 weeks at the time that it happened are literally, I should play the Powerball if I get pregnant.
I think actually when you get off of birth control, your chances increase, but you'd only be at like a,
my body.
6% chance.
Yes, there was no chance. So yes, it's so hard to get pregnant. Go out there and try, girls. Even try.
Yeah,
it's
great
literally
message,
impossible. It is.
Also, it was anal.
Well, you don't know. It's all connected down there at this point for me.
Oh, that's right.
If you do it enough, yeah, Nikki
it all knows.
Opens up. So
it all opens.
I don't know what that meant. That really grossed me out. But yeah, so I don't. There's been this like, I need a change. I want to get a haircut. I want to maybe dye my hair. I know these are all things I'm not going to. I'm going to get a dog instead.
Okay, that's
fine. I'm not
going
to do something that will only last a couple months until it grows out. I'm going to do something that's permanent, that lasts until it dies in 20 years. Because small dogs,
or
they
get,
be living, man.
And get a dog whose hair you can cut or like change its hairstyle.
That's cute.
That's such a good idea. Yeah, I'm going to give my dog a pixie cut. Yeah, and have everyone go, looks good.
Bangs.
Yeah, I'm going to give... I honestly hate when dogs have bangs. Get the hair out of your goddamn dog's face. These poor dogs that have constantly seeing through bangs. I know it's cute. Cut their bangs. My mom goes, you get away from Marianne's face. Because Marianne constantly is like... Her eyeballs are penetrated by hair constantly. Like, I see the hair, like, going into her eye. I'm like, but she doesn't care. She's just like, and I'm like, that's got to be annoying. So I start to cut, and she goes, you get away from my dog. I'm like, it used to be mine. So I'm looking at getting a dog. I want a small one that I can take on planes with me. It can travel with me all the time. I don't have to get sitters ever. My mom's like, you don't get a dog, Nikki, please. My mom doesn't want me to do anything, I realize. Like, anything I'd ever want to do. The other day, I was looking at a house to buy, and I was like, Mom, I'm not going to buy it, but, like, if I were to buy a house, this is, like, I could see me getting a place like this. She goes, all right, don't do it. Don't, like, I never have, like, even a little interest from her. Anything I want to spend money on, I wouldn't do it, Nick. I wouldn't do it. So I got LASIK. I didn't tell her I was getting LASIK because I knew I was going to hear, I wouldn't do it. I think it's too late. You just stick with what you got.
Too late. Stick with what you got.
Well, there was like a common misconception about LASIK that at least had trickled down to me that it's too late at one point.
That's what I was led to believe, too.
Yeah. No,
really?
The people in their 80s are getting LASIK. I was with them in the waiting room. Oh, yeah. You can get it till the end.
Also, stick with what you got is such a powerful message from a parent. Like, that must permeate other parts of your life.
Stick with what you got is everything I heard as a kid. Because I used to tell my mom, I'm ugly. I used to say, why did you and dad have sex when you knew you could make something as ugly as me? This would be after boys teased me at school and, like, I had buck teeth. And I was like, Lauren was perfect looking. She had not, like, she was not, you know, awkward looking yet or ever. But, And I used to say, I remember like just berating my mom being like, you and dad knew that you had DNA that could make something as ugly as me. Why would you irresponsibly have sex? Like, I was smart enough to like connect it to them.
Yeah.
Like, this is your fault. And my mom would go, you be happy with what you have, which is not calming. That doesn't make you feel good. It just makes you feel like, yeah, you are ugly. Deal with it.
Right.
As opposed to like, no, you're beautiful, which I probably wouldn't have accepted either. And I'd be talking about, she used to say, no, you're beautiful, when I knew I wasn't. That's what my old therapist, Donna, used to say. Because I would say, I was an ugly kid, and my dad used to say, "You are so beautiful." And he truly believed it. Like, he would just stop sometimes and, like, he'd just be staring at me. And I would, like, catch him staring at me. And I go, "Dad, what?" And he's like, "You're just so goddamn beautiful. You're just one of the most beautiful people." It was very loving. It wasn't creepy. Aww. He, like, loved that I had, like, he was like, these, like, fly, like, the things I hated most about myself in seventh grade, if I could pinpoint, was the bags under my eyes because I had chronic sinus infections because my parents smoked inside. It was their fault. But also, I had, like, like cowlicks. So if I put up back my hair, I was always jealous of girls that could put their, back their hair and it would be just slick. Mine would be, like, these right. fuzzy things hanging off, like, Bozo's crown. Like, it was just, it was, it looked, like, ethereal. I always had these, like, no hairspray.
Why don't you have them now?
I don't know. It was a child thing, but I've embraced them. I don't even know what it is, but I had these baby hairs that I hated. And my dad used to say, "Those are amazing. They're the best thing." And my therapist, Donna, goes, that's why you have anger towards your dad. Because you knew he was a liar. He was lying to you and you knew it. And he lied to you on the spot, and you knew it every day. He was lying to you when he said you were beautiful. And I was like, that's kind of a good point. Like, if you have something going on, your parent constantly is like, "No, you're beautiful." You kind of get to, even with Santa Claus. Sorry if kids are listening, but like,
but
when
what
that
if he didn't think he was lying to you. What if he believed it?
I do think he believed it, but I took it as him lying to me because he did lie about Santa when I confronted him. I saw his foot shaking. I knew. He goes, "What do you think?" God. And his foot was going fucking wild. And I just
oh my god, I have a
that
question about that.
Yeah, what? I was 12. I was on a
6-hour flight the other day, and the whole flight, this guy in my row was shaking his foot, and it was moving the entire row.
No. You got to go, "Sir, sorry," and just gently put your hand on it.
Touch him?
On his penis. You don't need to touch him. Well, I guess I used to do that to Andrew. I would just gently touch his leg and go, "Hey." It's because it would be like shaking the whole couch, you know?
Ian's foot.
That's the one. Ian's the one I used to do it to.
Ian Fidens.
Yeah, but people that do that, they burn more calories.
I don't think you can touch people without asking.
I mean, you're a gorgeous woman. You probably could.
He was an angry man. Okay. I asked him if I could go to the bathroom, and he rolled his eyes and goes, "Ugh."
What? Oh,
yeah.
God.
No, he goes, "The captain's up there. You can't."
What?
Yeah, the
co-captain. So this guy was shaking the entire row?
Yep, the whole row. He was like doing restless leg syndrome. And he had 7 shots of Jack Daniels.
Okay, this isn't someone you want to talk to. You're right. You're just going to have to like sit through this one. Yeah, that's a scary person. But also, man, there's a part of me that wants to get that person to try to punch me. It'd be worth it. Like I said, as they should. As they should. That woman, I wanted her to punch me because I had done nothing wrong except to go, "As they should." Oh, it would have been amazing. Nikki Glaser gets decked in the face by some Trumpy, like, or some guy on a plane, like, assault. I would beg you to hit me if you're a crazy person and I've done nothing wrong. I look like the hero. And I get an excuse to get a nose job.
I have a question. In our notes, you said you put an embarrassing boarding area moment.
Oh, I can't even, like, tell it yet.
Oh, okay, it's,
like,
never mind.
So embarrassing.
Scratch that.
No, okay, I will tell it. Okay. But this is, like, it's rare that I get humiliated. Like, humiliated. Oh. It happened this is a smaller, it happened twice in boarding areas. And you want to know why it's happening? Because of my noise-canceling headphones. Those goddamn AirPods cancel out too much noise. You don't hear people around you. You don't understand. And boarding areas, you know when they pack them in, there's like 4 announcements going on at once for 4 different gates. And you're hearing, "Oh, we're boarding group B. We're boarding group A. We're boarding, you know, veterans. Wheelchair accessibility." Like, so I hear, okay, I'll just tell the one. I know that I've gotten this ticket bought for me by like Sony. So I'm flying first class. I have all the perks, right? I know I'm number one, you know? So they call, we're beginning boarding. And I see already some people trickling on. So I go, they weren't, you know, disabled. So I knew it was my turn. They were just regular. Not that people who are disabled aren't regular. Please don't come after me. But, you know, they were able-bodied
people.
You
see, like, any wheelchairs. Yes. Yeah.
So I just go right. I don't cut anyone, but I'm just zipping along. And I realize, though, I know what I could be in trouble for. I've got a fanny pack on. But if you wear a fanny pack, it doesn't count as a personal bag. If you are wearing it on your body, it doesn't count. But I have a guitar and I have a suitcase. Okay. So then I scan my boarding pass And I hear, and there's tons of people, right? And I hear the woman say something, and I know what she's saying. She's saying, your suitcase is too big, it's not going to fit in the overhead, which it was, because I had done the little expander zipper, and I had forgotten to do the unexpanded one, right?
Right.
So I forgot to do that before they started boarding. I was all fucked up on time. I don't like to ever be someone who holds up the line. So I quickly...
Oh my God.
I quickly set my suitcase down, like pull it to the side, set down, unzip it really quickly. And I'm just like taking things out and holding them and zip it back up. And then I start walking down the jet bridge, and they're screaming my name. I can't hear it. But then eventually she's like, ma'am. And then I get back, and she's, and everyone's watched this whole thing. Okay. She goes, ma'am. And I go, what? And she goes, your boarding pass. And I was like, oh, it didn't scan. So I give it back. And she goes, it's the wrong flight.
So oh my God.
Flight was it wasn't even boarding yet. So not only did everyone on this flight see me like spill out my things and be like, and then be like, see, now it fits. And like do this whole thing. But then I had to walk back out. And then everyone from my own flight saw this display. It was like so, because
of
these
walk of shame.
No, it was so embarrassing. And then yesterday I got really again, it was so embarrassing. This is the problem without having a friend. When I was like traveling with Andrew constantly, it was nice because if something embarrassing happened, you had someone to go, ah, that was like, you trip and fall. You're like, oh, what an idiot. When you're by yourself, no one's there to like laugh right. with you. And like, and if you do it to yourself, you look like an even bigger idiot. Like, oh, what a dumb I am. So yesterday I finished my latte. I like sucked it down within like 2 minutes, even though I get them extra hot. I get them extra hot so that I can drink them fast, because if they're just normal temperature, I'll chug too much. So I get them extra hot so they'll like burn me if I chug.
But so you get them to drink slow, because you said fast, to drink fast.
Yeah, so it'll slow me down.
Slow you down.
Sorry, I was talking too fast. I get them extra hot so it will slow me down. The problem is my throat is now calloused and I can just chug scalding hot liquids. It's no problem. So I chug this fucking latte. And then we're about to board, and there's like, you know, everyone is waiting because they're boarding like the early group. So everyone's waiting around. It's like really tight. And I see this trash can, and I'm like, I know I can fucking dunk it. Or like, you know, just like swish.
Oh, no.
So it's, and it's like 2 feet away. It's nothing. And I,
no.
It hits the side, the cap and the holder come off, and they both go different ways, and then the cup falls about three, like nothing goes in the trash, but then my cup splits into 3 pieces and it goes everywhere, and I have to like collect it. And I'm living in this little, like, I have like a gentle podcast on, you know, Sam Harris is talking to me about like no free will, and it's, I can't hear anyone, and I know everyone's looking at me, and I'm collecting it, and I'm going, oh, that was embarrassing, and I'm saying it was embarrassing to myself. I mean, it's humiliating. It's making me hot just thinking about it, because everyone must have been just like, I hope I wasn't recognized in that moment. It was just so bad. So that was my embarrassing boarding moment, just knowing that people were like, it always happens when I have those damn headphones in, because I can't hear what people are saying, and I assume I know what they're saying. Does anyone else out there have those fucking yes. AirPods? You don't have the AirPod Pros though.
Not yet, but I was wearing these the other day on a plane yesterday, and I was sitting next to, like, if Paddington Bear was a female woman,
oh my God,
that was like 80 years old,
was hilarious.
She
you
had
were giving
a floppy
us updates
hat.
Of what she was saying. Yeah,
a huge purse. She was so disheveled. I don't think she had been on a plane ever. Maybe a couple times, like decades ago, and she just like, I was obsessed with her. She had all these papers, like old graph paper from 1982, in her bag, and like took out all these endless oranges that she was eating, and then she like leaned over to me and was like,
"That's a nice
yelling
snack on
something.
A plane, by the way." It like it's a
it
burst
is.
Of like
it
a
freshens.
Gentle, nice smell. It's that is the best thing to eat on a plane is a fresh orange. No one's gonna be upset, I don't think. Okay,
she was dying to talk and connect, and I was like, I'm in my zone. And she's like, I'm eating my seaweed snack, and she's like pointing at me and like, take off your headphones, take them off. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. What? And I take them off, and she goes, those are a great snack.
No, no.
Yeah. How did she's like, I lost my clog. She was just like feverishly like kicking her leg under my seat and like everywhere. And then she's like, it's so bright. And we take off and she's just, her nose is like smushed against the glass for the whole flight. She's just staring into the abyss. Like she can't believe. Oh, and Matt and I can't read our iPads because it's so bright in the plane.
if you're at the window, shut the fucking window. Unless you're a child, shut the window. People want to sleep. People want it dark. People want to watch their phones. Just the idea that people knew my, the woman had clearly said to me, ma'am, this is the wrong flight. And then what they see is a woman just violently throw her suitcase to the ground and open it. And then like take some things out, zip it back up, zip the other zipper that tightens it, then put it in that little cart thing to be like, and go see it fits. You did like, that? What the fuck are you doing? And I have my guitar that's swinging around and I'm like, ah! I looked insane. It's just so embarrassing when you've been doing something for a while. That's my biggest embarrassment, is when there's been a long birth of time where people are witnessing you thinking one thing and it not being the right way. Yeah. Like the other day I said the word stealth. I was like telling people to take pictures at my shows, because it's always like pictures are always take no photography during the show. I always tell people, please take pictures, sneak video. I don't care. So I told them on my story, I was like, be stealth. And someone wrote me and was like, stealth, be best. Are you Melania? And I was like, oh, fuck, it's stealthy. And then I also misspelled Ithaca and my dad knew. And then Anya was like, oh, like you misspelled Ithaca. And I go, you knew it? I go, why didn't you tell me? You're just like talking behind my back that I misspelled Ithaca.
I can't say Ithaca.
Oh, well, that's a good point. At least I can say it. But I hate things happening behind my back. I mean, who likes that? But like the way you said it, I was like, you've noted it. You know I misspelled this thing. I bet you have a list of things.
I was about to write to you. I just got distracted. I was about to be like Ithaca. And then I'm like, don't be cunty. Who cares? Like, I'm sure she's got 10
people. Yeah, be cunty later when it's.
I just thought you would know. Like someone had written it for sure. People had commented under it saying it's Ithaca. You're misspelling it.
How did you spell it? Do you remember?
The way it should be spelled, the way it's said, ithi, I-T-H-I.
Oh, okay.
Uka.
So it's I-T-H-A.
My bad. Please still come to my show, Ithaca. Just call, anytime there's something wrong, just call it out in the moment. Because my biggest fear is people talking about me behind my back, which I know happens. I mean, this is what I do for a living. So that's, most people have to talk about being behind my back because there's no, you're not going to meet me to say these things, or they DM me. But like the idea that my friends behind my back are like, she misspells Ithaca is enough for me to not want to be friends anymore. Like if I knew that kind of like shit talking was going on. Like recently,
you're,
I think Anya, you had said
our
that.
Friendship?
Yeah, I am. Recently, <You're> Anya.
Saying, what's happening?
Recently, Anya said something about like, oh, one time we did have a talk about you and your like depression and like your moods and stuff. And I was like, a sidebar was had. Like, I know it was out of like love, but then just don't tell me about the sidebar later on.
Right.
If you're talking about me behind my back, don't ever let me know that it happened.
There's too many rules. I can't remember all these.
Well, here's the only rule.
Don't
if you talk about me behind my back, don't tell me you did ever.
Why?
It was for everyone.
It was proof that that person cared about you. That person who shall remain nameless.
I don't need proof. I already know that that person cared about me. I don't need proof. Now I know that you don't care about me because you talked about me behind my back. We'll be back. We're going to break. I got to talk to someone behind their back.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're going to do We Know Nothing. Here's the theme song that has, really doesn't fit. We
know nothing. I may have edited it.
Oh, you did?
Yay.
I don't know if I did. I think I did.
Give us a call.
Never mind.
Nope. Still the same.
Okay, so originally that song was for like an advice segment, which I think we should do because I think we did a pretty good job the other day for Lynette.
Peyton.
Peyton Lynette. So today we're going to try to describe something that we don't know anything about. This was the subject that was picked earlier today. This segment really, I get scared about. I've been delaying it the whole show. I want to talk about anything else than this. Okay, so the thing we're going to try to explain is how electricity works.
It's so easy.
Usually this is embarrassing, but now there's like 4 men in this room who work here at iHeart who I know that at least 2 of them could
work with electricity.
Yeah, that they work of they know about Tesla coils and flying kites and
drones,
drones.
Yeah.
Okay, here's how so there's a grid, right? Electricity is definitely on a grid. All I know is that there was electricity last night in the episode of The Last of Us. I don't know how, but there was. And I don't know how they're getting it. Generators, right? What electricity is to me...
Okay, let's
that's
see.
All I can say is, to me, electricity means love. It means power. No, it means... I believe electricity is based on some kind of force, right? We're talking wind. We're talking water pressure. There's like a force that creates something that is bigger than something else.
Thank God.
And that force has to go somewhere, and that then can make things do something.
But where does it come from? Like, where does that force come from?
Well, I don't. Wind and solar power and like water. Like, you know, like windmills. Electricity. That's electricity. Sunlight. Can make electricity. I don't know how this all happens.
Conduction, I think it's called.
Okay.
Conduction.
So it's definitely a bunch of, like, it's, I can't even begin to describe what I don't know. So Anya, do you have any ideas? These guys are twitching around.
It
was not invented.
The light bulb was invented by Benjamin Franklin.
I thought it was Thomas Edison.
That's what I thought.
Thomas Edison.
Yeah, because like Edison isn't that like an electric company in New York?
Edison. Yes, it is.
Ben Franklin did.
He did the kite. No, Thomas Edison was the kite. No, Ben. Ben Franklin was kite with a key. Struck by lightning. Then the like.
Don't look at me.
Really? No. Electricity is a thing that I don't think it was invented. I think it just is. And we just discovered it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like when you rub your hair.
Okay, I'm getting a nod. Yes, on a balloon.
Like static electricity exists because the electrons are negative.
There we go.
Negative. Positive and negative electrons. So there's protons. Energy harnessed by sails and wind.
We're not that dumb. Electricity just came to be in like the turn of one of the centuries. So it was recent. You know, like it's not like we're so stupid. A lot of people didn't know what the fuck it was or how to get it.
You know what? Okay, so it's hard to understand. How does it get into everyone's house?
Wires.
So...
You look outside, all those beams, like when one of those poles falls over, then boom, no electricity.
Or like something explodes. So
I understand that, but how does it travel through these wires?
God. Spirit.
There's a grid. It's all connected through the grid.
Let's go online because I think we're out of ideas. The concept of electricity itself is based on electron movement. Okay.
All right.
We
Anya.
Did not say that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When you force electrons to move in sync, okay, I can put in sync in anything and I get it.
Just the Timberlake's involved?
Yeah. When you force electrons, to move in sync, they end up producing heat, which turns the wire they're moving into a magnet. Okay, let's get more into this because we're gonna learn right now.
Wait, so all those wires outside are magnets?
Probably.
So why aren't cars just like being lifted in the air and attaching to them?
Britannica describes electricity as a phenomenon associated with stationary or moving electric charges. Every electrical charge is a fundamental property of matter being borne by elementary particles. So I was right. Electricity is already a thing. We are just harnessing it.
It can't be created or destroyed.
For electricity, this elementary particle... Oh, God. I don't like the word elementary. Stop using it, dear Watson. I'm sorry. For electricity, this elementary particle is an electron that has a negative charge, which is carried to the next electron through the convention method. So when we talk about how electricity works, it's essentially the result of the accumulation or motion of a specific number of electrons. Moreover, electricity travels in a closed circuit for the electrons to move through it. Let's explain this with the help of an example. No, I don't want to know anymore. I don't need to know.
I still don't understand.
Imagine you flip a switch to turn on a light. What do? You basically close a circuit. By applying the same logic, when you flip a switch off, you open a circuit. Well, I would think it was the opposite. It's saying when you flip a switch off, you open a circuit. Now, when you close a circuit, the flow of electricity from the electric wires powers through them through the light and vice versa. Likewise, I'm done. Moreover, electricity takes different forms like water, coal, wind, solar, hydroelectricity, and nuclear. I think we uncovered it.
I think I need to watch an episode of like Sesame Street to explain this to me.
I don't even think they would even try to do that.
Tackle that. Yeah.
I mean,
was Ben Franklin involved at all? He had the kite.
Ben Franklin, electricity, I'm typing it in. I think he had the kite, but I don't think he was. Okay, Benjamin Franklin and the kite experiment. Okay, yes. Oh, despite a common misconception, Benjamin Franklin did not discover electricity during this experiment, or at all for that matter. It's just the first.
He just went to a park and got credit.
On a June afternoon in 1752, the sky began to darken over the city of Philadelphia. As rain began to fall and lightning threatened, most of the city citizens surely hurried inside, but not Benny Frank Franks. He decided it was the perfect time to go fly a kite. He had been waiting for an opportunity like this. He wanted to demonstrate the electrical nature of lightning. Okay, so, he didn't discover it.
So he wasn't a dum-dum. He was doing something to show how electricity works.
Yes.
but
so
I don't.
He had something to do with it, but he didn't discover it.
Who invented electricity? Even though we know that's not it, but we know we. Oh shit! It's still writing. We know that no one invented it, but I would just want to write it that way because you know people would be searching it like that. Who invented electricity? Okay. William Grinnell.
Who?
Schuyler Wheeler, Henry M. Leland, and Ebenezer Kinnersley.
Scrooge.
These are the inventors of electricity, so I guess it is. Benjamin Franklin took things a big step ahead.
What about
Thomas Alva Edison is one of the greatest of all inventors and is normally credited with creating the light bulb.
Oh, light bulb.
Nikola Tesla. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. We can't know everything.
I can't believe those four guys are not famous at all.
At all.
They just had like bad marketing.
Everyone
team.
Will be forgotten.
They had
oh, yeah.
No
they,
PR.
Didn't, they didn't have.
They didn't pay six grand for a PR company.
Oh, my
like
God.
Some people.
Like some people. I am.
Renier.
Final thought. We know nothing about electricity. I still don't know anything about it if someone tried to.
I had a C minus.
How do people have kids? And when these questions come up, I guess you just Google stuff and then you learn together. And that's Noah's thing where she was like, I was like, why do you want to have kids? And you were like, to see the world through their eyes. Really, yes. She meant because I need to learn some shit.
I need to like go back to school, to elementary yeah. school. And this is the only way.
Oh my God. It's embarrassing.
But then some dads are like, all right, this is where I excel. I've been waiting for this question. So here's a positive electron. Here's a negative. And then they just talk loudly. There was a guy in the park the other day, loud dad, showing his kids how to fish. And he was ruining everything for everyone because he was just shouting at them, teaching them how to fish and how these fish are different than those fish. And
what did
why
you
the water-
learn? Did you learn anything from this loud dad?
That I'm so grateful
that I don't you have a quiet, and- meek boyfriend
well, I wouldn't who say raises meek, his. But yeah,
he raises his hand to before he can ask a question.
Oh, wow.
Would you describe that as meek?
Only He's to so Nikki.
Really, only to me? Fuck.
Almost.
Okay, is this another
Sometimes
sidebar
to
you've
my family.
Had? No, he raises his hand, and I go, "Yes, Matt." And he goes, "Is it okay if we start the show 15 minutes late tonight?" Like, he's a meek guy. I don't, there's nothing wrong with being meek. I bet he's not meek in bed.
She's very pink. Bossy.
He's very bossy in bed.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, all right. Has he ever raised
his
hand?
He raises his hand
to
a lot to interrupt. Oh. Not yet, I'm hoping.
Oh, to interrupt. I get.
Yeah, I'm like, this is an interruption, this thing, because I'll be like, you know what I love? And then he's like, just stop. Shh.
Is Avi meek? Avi's very quiet.
No, he's not. He's really loud.
Really?
But it's just like not because like he has no hearing anymore. So he's just like naturally
Why?
Loud.
Does he have no hearing?
One, he was born with a hearing deficiency, and then he's been playing in grind bands for like almost his whole life.
Yes.
So his hearing's
Last
blown out.
Last night, I was at the comedy store and did the goddamn comedy jam, and Bill Burr was there, and they were so fucking loud. We were backstage, and the band was so loud. I was ready to like walk out because I was like, I can't be around this. And he was like, I can't believe you guys don't wear head or you know earplugs. And I'm like, I always bring them. I love. I can't believe how many people don't. And he's like, I have tinnitus from not wearing it forever. But he had earplugs, and he was so smart. But and then I put in my AirPods. I was like, I don't have earplugs,
smart.
But I do have my AirPods. It's perfect. But yeah, last night I was at the goddamn comedy jam, and. Right before I'm going on, I was doing a Taylor Swift song like I've done with them for a while, and I was playing guitar. I made the mistake, which is I think a novice guitarist mistake of not, like I didn't really, I always play the guitar sitting down. Never am I standing up. And then I stood up and it was, the fucking strap was too long. So I'm like playing, and I hadn't played it backstage. I figured I would be sitting on a stool or something when I got
yeah.
there. So I'm like playing it down, like I'm like
in a
Johnny
grunge
Rocket
band.
Or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah, a grunge band, exactly. So it was really hard for me to play, but it ended up going well. But right before I go on, this guy backstage who I don't even know, he was like, Matt Healy from the 1975 is here tonight. And I was like, he was like, he's a buddy of mine. I go, what? He's like, yeah, do you know him? And I was like, of course I know who that is. He's here watching this show. And I was like, oh, and I'm doing a Taylor Swift song. He's like friends with her. It was like, I was so nervous. But then I was like, oh, this makes me so much better. When the pressure's on, when I have someone in the audience that I'm like, I need to impress. Not that I was impressive at all. I listened to my vocals and they were piss poor. But I was like, because Carlisle was with me. She's like, are you nervous? And I'm like, I mean, kind of, but like also this is where I thrive. Like when there's not someone, when I get to have someone there that I have like a crush on or it's someone that I like really admire as a peer. That's why I'm always trying to get Chris to come see me perform because I'm like, it's going to be a better show because I'm trying to get laid from like being so dazzling that you can't help but like be horned up for it. Even though I don't think most guys get like horny for women who are like
commanding a stage.
Yes, they don't. Yeah, they don't. But for some reason, it's like, do you feel better, Anya, when you're performing and you know Matt is watching you adoringly?
No. Matt, yes. But if I know a good guitar player is there, I get so self-conscious and I'll make a bunch of errors and screw up because I'm like, they're probably watching me play guitar and then I'm like fumbling.
Yes. Well, I went out knowing that Matt Healy was there and I knew that he would, like anyone would, judge these comedians like trying to be what he does best, like a fucking badass rock star. I made the point of like, we're comedians trying to be rock stars. We know that we're not good at this. Just like rock stars are not good at being comedians, but you guys get away with so much more. And then I did my example of Dave Matthews being like, it smells good out there tonight. We're like, he said weed. Rock stars can say anything and people fucking die laughing. But God forbid I sing a little bit in between jokes. It was really fun last night. Carlisle came out and Bill Burr played Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I love that song. I didn't know that he was going to play it, but he was only playing drums on it. And
oh my God.
Josh Adam,
yeah, he's a drummer. That
drumming for that song is like the one song that I've been like, I want to get a drum kit because I love that, those drums. And so I had already finished, but I was like, and Josh Adam Myers had already sang like a bunch of songs because he's with the band. So he was singing it. And I was like, I know this song really well. And I just ran up on stage in the middle of it because I was like, I want to perform with Bill Burr. And so I sang Smells Like Teen Spirit. It was so fun. I wish I would have looked at the lyrics a little bit more because they're weird. A mulatto, a mosquito. I don't even think you could say mulatto anymore. I'm like, a mixed person. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said, I'm a lotto. Like, no, he's a lottery
he's
ticket.
Biracial. Oh, yeah. But it was so fun. It's so, like, sorry, but comedy sucks compared to being a rock star. It literally blows. It is the difference between getting like over the pants hand job compared to like full penetration when it comes to freedom and like of expression. And
is it because the audience is more active, like through the set, like they're singing along with you? They can't really
do that
with a joke.
It's more emotional. It's more emotional. You get to be more emotional. Mm. And I think that that's like so intriguing to me of just being able to like scream and like you can get like messy and go like, ah! Like you can just like I love on my explore page. It's all musicians like kind of like rubbing their face and being like and like twitching when they're singing and like getting like into it and like. I love it. I love that, like, you can look like you're coming on stage and everyone's okay with it. Like, that is freedom of expression more so than anything. And I think as a comedian, comedians are we're all wanting to be cool. Desperately, we want you to think we're cool. Even when we're talking about how, like, we farted on someone's head or something, we're still trying. We're in control of the narrative. And musicians are kuh as fuck as well. All the time, you know, we witness it. And even, you know, ones that are overly performative and do too much of that, like, I'm like, we were talking about some musician who Anya was watching the other night who, like, just like, she can do anything. And people are just like, she's fucking amazing. Cause guys just jerk off to her. And so she just like will eat a hot dog and like during her music video. And people are like, this is art. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, dance or something. Like, so musicians can be cute too, but there's just something so, and a song is, there's nothing better than a song. No one is having their, like, no one, you know, gets married and walks down the aisle to a, you know, Brian Regan bit. No one is, you're not watching like a love scene in a movie and you are transfixed more. Like, have you ever thought about if you take music out of TV shows or anything, how you wouldn't even
sterile.
Know what to do.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know how to feel. You wouldn't know a zombie's about to come. You wouldn't know, like, you always know a zombie's about to show up in The Last of Us because it's getting, the music is too good. It's been too good for too long. And then it starts to get a little quiet and you know something's, like, music, you don't realize how much it's, like, dictating your feelings. And so it's just way cooler. It's way more impressive. My voice teacher always says, especially singers, they were like, he goes, if you are a proficient singer and you master your voice, like, you know, and really work at it, there's nothing more magical because it's coming from you. You're making it out of nothing. Your instrument is inside your head. The inner workings, like the way that people, you know, play a trumpet and have like a little tap of their finger will change a note in a certain way. You can do that with all the way you shape your face and the way your tongue moves. Like all that stuff is happening inside. It's a magic trick, and there's nothing more special than that. And you don't have to lug it on a plane. It's always with you. And so it really is. Singing is the coolest thing you can possibly do as a human, I believe. I think it's like greatest talent. Because it feels like magic. But
what's cool about comedy is, like Seinfeld
nothing.
Says,
I'm just kidding. Yes.
You are so autonomous and independent. You're not looking for a record label to sign you to help you get big.
Yes, you are. Comedians are always looking for managers and agents. That's all they talk about. But you know what? It doesn't, they don't know that it doesn't matter.
Though. Like, you can go on stage and say whatever you want. Anything you want.
But you can go to open mics and play whatever you want and say whatever you want. And you guys get to say so much more. I don't get to talk about how in love with someone I am. It's not funny. I never get to express my, like,
actual...
You
can't be as vulnerable.
Yeah, you can't be vulnerable. And neither can you, because that's why lyricists always have to talk in metaphors, because it's too much to hear, like, I don't need to hear bubblegum tongue. Like, that even was like, come on, John, back off a little bit. That was too visceral. But that's... But I do agree, I don't have to pay a band. That's why John Mayer's going out solo on this next tour.
You think so?
Well, I think, first of all, I like to see musicians just with an acoustic guitar and their voice. I would prefer that over a huge band. No offense to bands. I like bands sometimes, but like, if I could pick what Taylor Swift does, it would be her and acoustic guitar. Because it's so much more personal. I always liked Dave at Live at Luther College more than any of the other albums, because it was just him and Tim Reynolds, bare bones. But also, you don't have to pay a fucking band. All that money goes to you. Not that I'm thinking that way, but that is the nicest thing about being a comedian, is that you don't have to give it to anyone unless you're a Sklar brother.
And you don't have to do sound checks.
I mean, I do sometimes, but yes, you're right.
Sound checks are... Well, that's because you sing. Yeah.
Yes, but sound checks are annoying. I get into town, I can just go to sleep and then get to the show and just go right on.
I always wonder... about, like, you know, so as a comedian, you can constantly change your set. And if you don't feel like doing one joke, if you're not in the mood for it. But I feel like bands have to play the songs that everybody went
Which
to
is
hear.
Nice and not nice, because you always have something to fall back on. You don't have to make new music if you were, like, there was this joke I heard where someone said, like, hey, I forget who told me this. They were talking to the manager of REO Speedwagon, and they asked him, like, are they still, like, putting out new music? And he goes, we don't encourage it. That would be so nice. I'm grateful that I'm ADD. I get so bored with stuff that I don't feel anymore. So it would be very hard for me to, like, even songs that I didn't write that I was so into and was so into singing. I'm like, Anya, I don't want to sing that song today. Like, I'm not feeling it. I will not sing it. Like, there's no way. So it would be hard to, like, do that. Last night I would have 100% blown off this show and canceled. 100%, no question, if I was just doing stand-up, because I didn't need it. I did stand-up all weekend, but because I was singing a song, I would have paid to do the show. It was so fun. It's the best feeling I can achieve in my life right now, is performing on stage with a full band where I get to play guitar really shittily. It's the best feeling. I'm so grateful
that
I have it.
And you get to cover Nirvana with Bill Burr. That's so fun.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that. That's so great.
Even though I had to look at my phone the whole time because I didn't know the lyrics, but I wish I would have learned them before. Yeah, it was really fun. All right, that's our show today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Anya. Thank you, Noah, for being here. Thank you to iHeart Podcast for allowing us to be in this dope-ass studio. So what did you just say? Big Money Players, yes, especially our little sect of the iHeartRadio podcasting.
It's our network.
All the best podcasts at iHeart, no offense to the other ones, are at Big Money Players. They're the funniest and the coolest. So make sure you check those out.
Stradio Lab.
Poog. It's, what is it?
Stradiolab.
Oh, there's a new one, which I used to do. It was Vanessa Bayer's new one. What is that called?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
How Do We Get Weird.
How Do We Get Weird. Oh, that's good. I just saw a clip with Will Ferrell where she's talking about, oh my God, that was the funniest damn clip. We'll repost it on our socials. But she was talking about a job interview she went on where she came in prepared with her biggest weakness because she knew that was going to be a job interview question. And then they didn't ask it. So at the end, when she had gotten the job and they were like saying goodbye, she was like, I just want to say my biggest weakness. I was crying laughing. It's so good. So check out that Vanessa Bayer's podcast along with all the Big Money Players podcasts that we are so happy to be a part of that network. And we'll see you tomorrow on the show. Also, dates coming up. Durham, Greensboro, and what's the other?
Oh, wait.
Durham, Greensboro, and
Charleston.
Yes. Oh, we're on a Southern tour this week. And let me just say, besties, if you're in the South, please come out to these shows because your girl has never really played the South. And if there aren't anyone at these shows, I literally won't come back to these towns because my agents, people always go, why do you go on this place? Why do you go to this place? I don't choose. My agents choose based on the demand. And if we learn on this tour that there isn't demand there, I'm never going to come back. And it won't be my fault. I won't know. I will have no control over it. So please, every single ticket matters to me. And I'm not asking you just to like do this for me. Like I want to come back there because I like playing in the South. I like the people. So make a difference by buying a ticket to one of my shows. And you know, as always, you get a free meet and greet if you're a bestie. Just come up to the merch booth and tell them that you're a bestie, and we'll find a way to get you a meet and greet. Or write me on DM or through Nikki Glaser Pod, DM your full name, the show you're going to, and say you're going alone or that you're just a bestie. You can go with someone and get a meet and greet too. And I can't wait to meet you. I'll see you out there. Don't be cool and just research before you get to veneers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.